Kind of messing beat. I have no idea, but we got a great show lined up for you today.
Vic, you got to call in on a different. Your headset's screwing up big time now. Vic, you there? This is the FSP crew show. Vic, I hope you're going to call back in on a different line because your headset is screwing up. I'll carry it until you call back in. FSP, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me or Vic on the FSP crew show. We also have a chat room. The chat room is open if you'd like to convey your feelings or your thoughts in the chat room. You can do that also. We're going to be talking about some NBA. We're going to be talking about some football. Supposedly, one of my members of my of our fantasy baseball league is supposed to be calling in. You've heard different things and rants I've had over the last few weeks. I had posted on the, several days ago that I was done with it. I am basically done with it, but apparently... Vic and the other person that was involved wants to keep it going. I'm not interested in keeping it going, but we'll see what happens. Vic, are you going to call in or what?
Yeah, I'm calling in, JT. I'm
okay.
Here. Can you hear me, bro?
Yes, yes, I can hear you now.
All right. I told you, that headset is screwy, dude.
Yeah,
it
sounded fine when I was talking to you about a half hour ago, so and now I don't know what you did to it or what happened to it.
It's
sounds
the government.
Like hot garbage.
It's the government. I'm
okay.
Telling you, it's the government. Hot garbage, okay. Like your fantasy football teams. All right. Check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you the real intro because it's me. It's me, Mr. Stafford, and I'm here, and I'm doing what I just want to do it for you.
That was an insult. Really. That was an insult. Real intro. What the heck was that? But go ahead.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Go ahead.
Was no,
go,
I love
go
you.
Ahead.
I respect
go right
what
ahead.
You do.
Go right ahead, man. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of FSP, we'll talk about the NBA Finals. As I said, if you listen to the crew show on Thursday, LeBron James wouldn't show up. And I told you that the Spurs would lose. Well, I thought they would lose. And they did. Dwayne Wade showed up. Chris Bosh had an appearance. So the supplemental folks for the Heat showed up. We're going to talk about that game a little bit. We're also going to do a little fantasy football information. I'm going to tell you. Jerry gave you last week. And it was a big surprise. To me, it was a huge surprise that he had Reggie Bush ranked number two fantasy-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, a combination, quarterback and receiver, that you can target in the later rounds, and they'll pay out huge dividends for you. I just think it's going to happen. I really think it's going to happen. And I'll tell you why later on. Jerry, don't let me forget about that. We'll update the fantasy baseball situation. Jerry says he's done with it. But Andrew Weber, who said he's going to call in today, says he's not done with the ATM by a long shot. And right now they're locked up in a very tight matchup this week, so we'll let them discuss their issues live on the air.
I'm done with it, man. But whatever. You guys want to try to pull me into something? Fine, no problem. The last thing I said, the last post I made was just exactly that. This is my last word on it. Good luck to all. It's still a long way to go, and I said good luck to all. That was my last thing. I specifically said that was my last thing on that. But that's okay. You want to bring it on? A day late and a dollar short, no problem. No problem.
That's between he and you. You know, he did miss his appointment last week because he had to go coach Little League or ump Little League games. So
yeah, okay.
That would have been a time to talk. I'm just telling you what to do, but that was his opportunity.
Whatever.
That was his opportunity to talk trash prior to the matchup, but now with one day left, with one day left being Sunday, and a tight matchup, and just
very tight.
Call in probably about 10:15, and let you guys go at it for a little bit for a segment.
I'm not going at squat. I tell you that right now. I hate to tell you that, but I'm not going at squat. I told you I was done with it. He had his opportunity. He want to call in and day late and dollar short. No problem. I'll talk, but it's not what you're going to think it's going to be. It's not.
Okay,
It's just not. I told you I had an epiphany, and you know I keep on reverting back to this, just like LeBron, just like Dirk the Whiskey, and just like any of those guys, and just like Darrell Revis. He's on top. Why should I come down and talk to somebody who's in eighth place right now and hasn't won a championship in this league? Hello?
Well, I'm going to let y'all handle that like men. You know, now that we're men, we're going to build like together.
What I just said is what I'm going to say again, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have that on the show. Hopefully Andrew calls in if he doesn't. I'm quite sure Jerry's going to have something to say at the end of the show. And then tomorrow on the master plan, he'll speak about wasting his time on the eighth place person in the fantasy league.
Vic, I'm only going along with this because he's calling in. If he's called in, I'll semi-go along with it. But if you don't call in, I'm not going to even say anything about it, either today or tomorrow. It's, you know, what it is, what it is.
All right,
it is what
Sniper
it is.
Six. You know your job, Sniper Six.
It's sniped. It's
all
there.
Right. That's my boy. That's my boy, Blue. That's my boy. You have to be a part of a certain group to understand what we're talking about. But anyway, we're talking about brawls and stuff and fantasy. We're going to talk about the brawl between the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, whereas this hot phenom, Mr. Plague, only received a monetary penalty for his part, where he swung fist. He swung fist. And other players got suspended and everything. I take it something you just got something that made you laugh.
I'm looking at Facebook, and somebody already responded. I posted this 3 minutes ago, and somebody also already responded to it. Muscle
Billy. Hey, it might be. I cannot confirm nor deny what you have posted. But I will say that was a long-range shot, Sniper Six. You need to move in for the kill. I think we got a caller. Oh no, that's my cousin. He can wait.
Okay. Whatever.
So anyway,
hey, what mean you wait?
We're gonna talk. Can I get through the intro? I'm not even finished with the intro.
No problem. Go right
ahead.
But I'm sorry. This is your show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, geez, we're 10 minutes in and I still didn't get the stuff out. So we're gonna talk about the Dodgers and Diamondbacks brawl. We're also going to talk about the UFC fight card happening tonight, UFC 151. Whatever. I mean, Black had front row seats for you to come and correspond for us for the boxing match. Did you show up? No. So Black had to take it on at the last minute. And look, he got two jobs out of it, two real jobs out of it, working for the Examiner and for the Afro. So come on now. We're trying to work some stuff out, Mr. Superbad. But we're going to talk about some MMA stuff. We possibly might have a few MMA fighters come on the show later on in the month. We have some folks fighting in the MFC that are going to be fighting at the end of the month, and I want to bring them on the air. I'm not going to talk about them just yet until I confirm that they're going to come on the show. We'll see what happens. Also, there's a big boxing match happening at the DC Convention Center with Mr. Ty Barnett, who came on the show Thursday. We want to talk about that. That's happening later on tonight in DC. So we want to do that. But let's do a little business before we get to the phone calls. First, I want to say this. The new Dre headphones, Dre Tour in-ear Monster Beats, Dre Studios. We've got Beats by Dre. Experience the wonder of high-quality headphones over the headphones, deep bass, and ultra-clear mid-range sounds, letting you enjoy music with full details. Headphones wherever you go. For more information, you can always inbox Cyril1, C-Y-R-I-L-1, at inbox.com for more information. Cyril is, I guess he's proprietor of these beats, just like Dr. Dre. Get paid. Here, Fantasy Sports and Politics. My deal is done. I hope you guys enjoy it. Let's get ready to rumble. Let me bring in my cousin, Mike.
Come on, man. What is his name? Why are you consistently trying to goad him and saying the wrong name? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let him say whatever he wants, because he's the sellout. He can say whatever he wants. He's the sellout.
I might be the sellout, but I'm still going to do my thing. Whatever. Call me whatever.
Right, and sell your soul.
Oh,
your
boy.
Soul is
no,
for sale.
Oh, boy.
My soul isn't for sale, but parts of my show are, since you brought that up.
Mick Cal, how are you today?
I'm good, sir.
Well, jump over here.
All this nonsense this boy's talking about. What are we going to talk about today? I mean, because it don't seem like I'm going to be on this line too long.
Oh.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, because the best. I mean, really, because the best part of the show is when when we have a conversation.
Whatever. We about to have a conversation right now.
You know, because if you was a real hustler, you would know that. But anyway.
Whatever. I know what it is, but I'm not a hustler. I'm a business man. All right. Let's move on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
see,
talk
and
about.
That's why you and I are totally different.
It's okay.
Totally
it's all
different.
Right. You need a little yin and yang. You need yin and yang. I mean,
no,
I'm
we no, we not yin
and
yang.
You're...
We are not yin and yang. We are not yin and yang.
Quiet. Let me get to what I'm talking about here.
Oh, boy.
Well, hold on. Mike, you might have to be muted for a second, because I think we have our special guest calling in.
Special.
I really think we do.
Okay.
Law is Ace Between. I'm going to give you guys a segment. And before I let that segment go, I got to do a little business, because my cousin said that, I'm a sellout. Well, I'm a sellout for myself. Here you go.
If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archive, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
Wow.
Now, with that being said, I got to bring on one of the most informational, motivational persons in the fantasy baseball league. His name would be Andrew Weber, a.k.a. Hakuna Tejada. Andrew, welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. The floor is yours and Jerry to speak for about, I guess, 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
How you doing, my man?
So, I just want to know, how could you think that trade that you proposed was even good at all? Like, how is that even fair at all? I want to hear straight from you how that trade was fair, the Addison Reed trade.
The Addison Reed trade. Oh, okay. Addison Reed is a top closer, and the two pitchers that I had proposed had ERAs a little over three, and their whips were a lot better than the league average. So
yeah, but you also stated that Addison Reed only gives. You said on the message board, you said that Addison Reed would only give you saves.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You're misquoting me. I did not say that.
One category at best.
No, I did not say that. If you look on the message board, I did not state anything about Mr. Addison Reed's stats or what category. If I'm not mistaken,
you said that the starting pitchers give more categories than a closer would only give. He would only give you your saves.
Let me see. Let me look on a message board, because I could have sworn that the other person who jumped in on that, who was
Jason,
on the other end of that trade.
Jason.
Yes.
Jason. And I agree with you on the Zach Greinke trade. I didn't see that one go through, and to me, that Zach Greinke trade was just, I would deny that. If he was
a commissioner
of the league or whatever,
trade.
I would have denied that right away.
No. He was a part of it because I traded him Zach Greinke, so I know he didn't veto that. Now, Jason might have vetoed the Zach Greinke trade, but he was a part of it. He sent me Zach Greinke, and then I sent Zach Greinke to JT. So,
I don't know if
they're complaining.
That was an off-the-wall trade, though.
I'm trying to find that freaking post, because I could have sworn I did not say anything about the stats. I think the guy who was included in that trade,
it might have been on one of your other blog talk segments. It was one of those things you said that he's only going to give me saves. But that's when I started saying he's going to give you saves, ERA, strikeouts, whip, because those guys are made to pretty much shut people down. So I was like, okay, how is that?
Well, let me put it this way: the two quality pitchers, and they were quality pitchers. They weren't slouches. They weren't the greatest pitchers. I wouldn't be giving greatest pitchers for Addison Reed, but to give two good pitchers that I had on my lineup for one closer, I thought was a decent trade off, and for someone to, in my opinion, to veto that when the other trades that went through was like, it didn't make any sense to me, and that's why I said what I said, and I'll stand by it.
How come my trade with Vic got vetoed when I'm giving up people that
I Vic's in last place right now, so why would I try to beef up a last place guy? And I'm giving away Verlander and whoever else I was giving up, and it got vetoed like right away. Like I'm giving away.
Well,
let's
put it this way: I'm only one person, so
Did you veto it?
Tell me what the trade was, because I can't remember. Because there's so many freaking trades that went past that got vetoed. Verlander was included in that, but who else was in that?
I was giving up like Verlander, Matt Carpenter, who Matt Carpenter is like 330 right now. He's hitting extremely good hitter. Verlander,
okay.
Who I don't really, to be honest, I don't like Verlander. Right now this year he's inconsistent, and I'd rather have Latos than Verlander. So, well, I wanted Latos, and I wanted James Loney, and I wanted someone else. And
I didn't have Latos at the time because I was trying to get Latos from Jerry. But the trade he's talking about is Verlander and Alan Craig for, I was going to send you Loney, old boy from the Yankees, Euculus, and I was going to send you another pitcher or something.
Craig. What are you talking about?
No, not Craig. I didn't say Alan Craig.
Yes, you did.
Euculus.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was going to send them Euculus. I was going to send them Euculus and Looney and another one of my pitchers in order to get Verlander and Craig. Or it was going to be Braun. I thought it might have been Braun because I think I was trying to put Braun off or Bryce Harper at the time. And the deal was that, and then it got vetoed basically because of the whole issue that Jerry did on the show. People heard Jerry's rant, and then all of a sudden, all the trades tried to go through. Vetoed. I'm like, man, what in the world is going on? But that was the situation with that. Your situation, or the trade between you two, whatever the case may be, I can't speak on that. Because I didn't vote against it. But it takes half the league or 5 to 6 people in the league to veto a trade.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of it came about because folks were like, oh, Jerry's going off? And people were like, mad, bruh? What's wrong, Jerry? And then some people were like, well, they didn't think some of the trades were good, so they vetoed them, but they were surprised that they went through. So that prompted the other folks in the league to start vetoing. So I think that's
a snowball effect right now because nobody's going to pass any trade. It's just they're going to veto it all day, no matter what trade it is. I want to get rid of Verlander. I don't want Verlander. I'd rather give away Verlander, but no one's going to trade.
I want Verlander. Jerry wants somebody from my team, and I want Latos as well. But I'm willing to trade. If we can make a three-way trade, that works. I have no problem with that. The thing is,
you'd rather have Verlander than Latos?
The reason why is because I want Verlander on my team along with Alan Craig or Matt Carpenter or both. And I could make a deal with the both of you in order to make that happen. So I'm willing to make that happen.
Why are you talking crap on my team when I've been beaten second, third, and fourth place team?
Okay,
I
mean,
like
I said before, my last post I said, it's a long season. A lot of things happen. It all depends on how lucky and how the ball bounces, proverbial ball bounces each week on who does what to who. This league is highly competitive, and the last place team obviously can beat the first place team at any time. So talk about, oh, I beat this team and that team, that's going to happen through the course of the season without a doubt. So, I mean, regardless of who plays what, the bottom line is at the end of the season, who is in first to sixth? That's the teams that are getting in the playoffs. So you can talk about who you beat, but the season is just half over. So
That's why I don't know why you're being so cocky about your team and all this and stuff. I'm like, well, dude, like the season ain't like 6 weeks long, so
Well, I've talked like this, and the guys know me from last year because I talked like this last year, and I haven't stopped. I'm a talker, and I talked a lot of smack. This is not the first time I've talked a lot of smack. Halifax Hurlers doesn't like me, that's for sure, because he thought I did a lot of trades that were shaky and accused me of making trades last year that I wouldn't be back this year to own up to them. And I'm back this year, and I am where I am right now. So you're not the first or the last to either carry a grudge or have a slight dislike for the way I do things in the league. But it's not the first time I've done this, and I'm going to keep on doing it because that's what I do. I get under your guys' skin, and some of you, and I'm not saying all of you, do things that you shouldn't be doing because you're so worried about beating me. Versus worrying about beating the rest of the league for the championship at the end of the year. So it is what it is. It's all in fun. This is all fantasy. So you know you can get upset. I got upset absolutely because the fact is that the last trade I tried to get through wasn't even close to being as bad as the one trade I got through. And whoever vetoed it didn't veto enough because it got through, but. The one I had with Addison Reed, I thought that was even more of a trade than the one I had before that, and it got vetoed. Two starting pitchers for a reliever. And it's two starting pitchers that are no slouches. That's not like the worst pitchers in the league. They have
Wandy Rodriguez
and I forget who the other one was, but they were comparable. Their stats, their ERA, their Ks. And their whips were comparable to each other for at one reliever. And the person that posted about the categories was not me. It was JDK213 because I see the date and time he posted it.
That was Jason. Well, look, guys, let's get off of that subject. I'm going to wrap this up with, tell me who's going to win this matchup between the two of you with 2 days left, today and tomorrow. Jerry, you have the first few minutes, and then Andrew, you close it up.
My last word on the post and my last word is this. Good luck to all. It's a long season. Anything can happen. Good luck to all.
That's what you say to them for y'all matchup today?
Good luck to all.
Okay. Andrew?
I still think I'm going to take it in the very end. I still got some pitchers going. I still got Kershaw pitching again. I think I'm going to get more categories. And like you said, you know, it's fantasy baseball. It's like baseball. Baseball is so one day you're hot, one day you're not. So
mm-hmm.
You never know.
Yep.
You never know.
Yeah.
You can have a good lineup, and just like, you know, Tulowitzki breaking his ribs, now you just lost your shortstop. Now you got to go find a shortstop, and he may – not do as good, and you may lose in a couple categories because of that. So, I mean, injuries can never know what can happen to your team.
And in this league, one of the shortcomings in positions is the shortstop. Most of the good shortstops are taken, and either they're starting or they're a backup, or they're used in another category, so you have two shortstops playing. So one of the league's shortcomings on the waiver wire is shortstops.
Yep.
So.
That's why I have like 20 of them. But, all right, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure talking to you, Andrew. Hopefully that you can come on the show again, and we can go back and forth with fantasy baseball. Or if you happen to join the Fantasy Football League, we can do the same thing. We can have fun doing that.
For sure.
All right, we're going to get to that in a minute. All right, Andrew. Thanks for your
take
call.
Care.
Stick around
mm-hmm.
listen to the rest of the program. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a civil union of the two. as JT, ATM Money, and Andrew became civil towards each other because the verbiage in the league was very hostile, and Jerry was very hostile, too. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right back into the NBA Finals with my cousin, and Jerry and myself. We're going to talk about, you know, why did LeBron not show up and let Dwayne Wade come about? But first, a word for us.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports? Like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others. Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Thanks for sticking around with us. We just had Andrew come on the air and talk to us, or talk to Jerry, and they were very cordial to each other about their matchup as well as some issues that are going on in the league. I mean, we just do these types of things. We argue, we fuss, we fight, we invite you to come on the air, and that makes it fun. That makes it fun. We're playing for money, but we make it fun. Speaking of which, I'm encouraging and I'm challenging every columnist, sports columnist, or internet blogger, or athlete or former athlete to a fantasy football challenge. You want to create a league on ESPN, and if you are one of these guys that like Matt Shaw, who goes in and does these articles about your draft strategy and stuff like that, come and take the challenge. It's free. I'm not charging a thing. So it's to come in, have some fun, and then we can talk about you on the air as either myself, JTATM Money, or the book, or Black, because we can't call him that other one anymore, or Jeff the Joker. Just shows you that we know more than you do. Just go to fantasysportspolitics.webs.com. Get a team, or just hit me up. We'll make it happen. Now, LeBron James, because I recall quite clearly how my cousins referred on last basketball season along with JTT and Money, calling him LeBron. Now he's the greatest thing in basketball and sliced bread, and I said he's not. And, you know, I get it. I get it. Last game four between the Spurs and the Heat was a very good game for LeBron James. He passed the ball. He shot the ball. He took control of the game, but he's inconsistent in doing that. Also, he had several people step up for him. You had Ray Allen finally show up. Chris Bosh played a better power forward position type game than in the past, and all of a sudden, the person who I said last year is the actual leader of the team, well, he stepped up too, Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade dropped 30-plus points with his bad knee and showed the killer instinct, and LeBron, he sat to the side and did his Scottie Pippen thing.
You're totally wrong here, but okay.
But
you're totally wrong, but go ahead.
Whatever.
I'll let you finish before you let me jump in.
I'm going to let you jump in. Whatever.
What's that? What's that?
I heard what my cousin said.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything. All I did was sneeze. I didn't say one word about your whack-ass analysis.
I thought you sneezed and said BS or something like that.
No, he
did
not say that.
Okay. All right, but my point is, LeBron is a very, very talented player, but he's not the best player in the NBA right now. And Dwayne Wade helped prove that for me, even though because LeBron did what he did, he opened up the floor. And I get it. That game is what he needs to do in order to be the real dominant force. He needs to be
a guy that goes to the end distributor and things of that nature. So with that being said, I still think that the Spurs are going to win tonight, and it's going to be a back-and-forth set of games with the Spurs winning out. So JT, ATM Money, take it away.
First of all, you are way off base in this one, okay? Saying that Dwayne Wade, Dwayne Wade did step up. He had to step up because he'd been playing piss poor since this series started, along with Chris Bosh. So both these guys stepped up. Both these guys had to step up in order for him to win the game. All three of these guys scored a combined 85 points of the 109 points that the Heat scored. So the rest of the team only scored 24 points. So, and you say LeBron took a back seat? LeBron scored 33 points, had 11 rebounds. Dwayne Wade had 6 rebounds. LeBron had 4 assists. Dwayne Wade matched him with 4 assists. Dwayne Wade had 6 steals. LeBron had 2. Dwayne Wade had 1 block. LeBron had 2. And Dwayne Wade had 4 personal fouls. LeBron had only 2. And eight of those rebounds that he had were defensive rebounds. So LeBron James was in this game. He scored one more point than Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh stepped up to the plate where LeBron had already been. So there's where you're off base. LeBron didn't take a back seat. The two other guys took a step up.
I agree they took a step up. I agree they took a step up. But what I'm saying is LeBron was more of the dominant player in this game than he has been, meaning his ability to penetrate and go to the hole opened up for those other players to do it.
Do you know why he was more dominant? Because Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were hitting shots and doing what they should have been doing since the beginning.
I got that, old man. But my point is that LeBron, and y'all called him Shabron last year. I didn't do that. That was you guys.
Right. Yeah, that was last year. Exactly.
That was last year.
Okay.
Exactly.
And I came on this show right here on this particular day, this show, not the Thursday, not the whack-ass Friday, but this one, and said that we're not calling him Shabron no more. He is LeBron.
Yes.
LeBron. He is growing up into a man. And as I stated to you before, you know what I mean? And you still talking this whack analysis with no vision and no foresight over and over again.
Oh, Lord.
LeBron's best part of LeBron's game is to facilitate. That's
right.
What he does best. He can.
I agree.
He can attack. He can take over a game and, you know, and run up and down the court and stuff like that. But this is the reason he left Cleveland and came to Miami. Dwayne Wade had to step up because all the talk was that Dwayne Wade was done, was finished. And even I was subscribing to that a little bit. But this is a back-and-forth series. No one knows what's going to happen because each team has been able to respond and respond strongly. So if you're sitting up here saying that LeBron has been inconsistent, you got to say Tim Duncan has been inconsistent.
Right.
Tony has been inconsistent. And where the hell is Ginobili?
Right.
Please, don't even come at me. Don't even come up here and talk this nonsense. This is a heavyweight bout. You know what I'm saying? This is exactly what LeBron and them needed because this is a serious matchup, a serious test. And like I said to you before, this is a natural passing of the baton because the consistent champion over the past 10 years has been the Spurs. They have been the gold standard. I will give them that. But it is LeBron's time. And it is imperative upon LeBron to step up and take this. If he don't, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be remembered forever. He's going to be a Wilt Chamberlain. You know what I'm saying? A Wilt Chamberlain type. So don't come out here and talk about he's not the best player on the planet. He is the best player on the planet. He just has to figure out
He has to figure out how and when he needs to win, and that is his problem. That's always been his
and
problem.
That
but best part, hold on. The best part of his game, which comes naturally, folks like Kobe and Mike had to learn that. They had to learn that. LeBron came in the league with it already able to facilitate. I mean, I don't even know how many times I got to argue this nonsense with you, man.
I'm glad you feel that way, because if you're just saying Michael and Kobe had to learn something, you know, and they got it, but LeBron already has the ability to facilitate, but he still needs to learn something, you know, that
right.
tells me
just like,
he's
just
still
like,
not,
just like,
he's still
no,
not
no,
there.
No, no, no.
He's
see,
still
see,
not
you
there.
Are so, you are so one-sided in your thinking, because
nope.
I'm trying to tell you, it's a very wide spectrum. Mike and Kobe came in with this, I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to take it anytime, anywhere. But the problem they had is they had to get their teammates involved. They
yep.
didn't win
Got it.
Nothing.
Got
they
it.
Didn't win nothing, and they didn't get it until they learned how to score and facilitate at the same time or find a balance
that
how they play. What I'm telling you is that LeBron already had that when he came into the league. Game
but
one.
I got that.
The only
yes,
thing
did.
That LeBron does not have, and he has to learn how to do it, and you're watching him do it. You're watching him go right through it right now. I thought it was going to be back in Dallas. I thought he was going to learn it then. He didn't learn it then.
Nope.
He got a little bit of it last year. You know what I'm saying? But he got kind of a little... He kind of got a little break with Oklahoma. But this right here will submit him, period. And he knows it. He knows it.
Well, listen, I'm glad you feel that way, because you just talked yourself right into what I was saying. I mean, I got it.
I didn't talk myself into nothing.
The kid came into the league. With the ability to distribute, which is fine. Got it. There are a lot of people come to the league.
The ability to facilitate.
Some of them, some of them are not as gifted as LeBron, so they just go on to do mediocre or just above average type of play. Got it. The issue that I'm trying to get you to understand is, if you're saying that LeBron needs to develop a certain part of his game, just like Kobe and Mike had to develop a certain part of their game where they were not recognized as the best players. They were one of the most talented players in the league, but until they developed that other part of their game, they were not the best player in the league. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand.
Who's better than him?
I just took
Kobe.
Until Kobe retires, and I'm not a Kobe fan. I am not a Kobe fan.
Kobe
is the best player.
No, he is not. He is not.
Damn,
Kobe
no.
is 34.
Okay.
Kobe gets much respect when he steps on the floor. Period. Point blank. He is the alpha dog when he steps on it. But he is not the best player in the league right now. The best player in the league right now, hands down, is LeBron James.
No, I mean, we disagree. And we disagree based upon, we're disagreeing on the same subject. I mean, I agree that the kid has great talent, but he needs to develop his game. I agree with that 110%. And until he develops it fully,
in my opinion, he's not the best player.
Go ahead, JJ.
Victor, every player, regardless of what level they're playing on, always needs to develop their game. There is no absolutely perfect player, but LeBron is at the probably the closest. I'm not calling him perfect, but he's probably the closest to a perfect player versus the other players in the league. Okay, but just like LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, every time they step on the court, they still have to develop something in their game. So you can every player has a flaw in their game. Some have less flaws than others. LeBron happens to be one of the players, or the player, that has a less flaws in his game right now than any other player on the planet. So he's the best player.
No. If we're talking about people that have the least amount of flaws, whatever, I don't care what age Kobe is. I don't care. Kobe's still in the NBA, is he? Is he or is he not? He's
not the best player. He's not even close to the best player in the league anymore. Kobe is not even close to the best player in the league. No way, no how. Even if he came back totally healthy, no way he would be the best player. He slowed down.
No way.
He doesn't play as good as defense as he used to play, and he's just not the same player. He's a hell of a player, but he's not the best player on the planet.
That's your opinion.
I love
you.
You know what, Jerry?
I'll be like this.
Wait a minute. Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, that's what he supports you. However, that's your opinion. My opinion is that he is. Now, you brought a very good point, and I want to jump on that for a few minutes before we move on to the next topic. But you brought up Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, he's a D.C., Maryland, Virginia a native from Maryland, close to D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and he's a very well-rounded player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the best right now, but he's the most endorsed at this point next to LeBron James. However, we saw that he needed Westbrook, who has tons of flaws in his game, but is a superstar in his own right. But you saw
and still developing. And still developing.
Correct. Still developing. So with those two together, you know, Durant becomes the supreme player in basketball to me, with just those two together. Now, Kevin Durant's thing is, he can be the point guard, he can be the shooting guard, he can be the power forward, he can even play a little center. But he needs to develop that killer instinct that says, you know what, I'm taking this game over. You know, he tried
all
to
right.
do it versus Memphis.
What did I just finish saying? Every player,
to what I'm saying.
When they step on the court, needs to develop their game.
Listen to what I'm saying here.
Right.
Listen to what I'm saying. He needs to develop that same thing that Kobe had developed. He needs to develop that same instinct that LeBron needs to develop.
Jesus Christ.
LeBron and Kevin both.
You are an idiot. Why are you hanging your hat
what you're saying is this, Victor,
it sounds like this is what you're saying. You're saying that if a player, a good player, very one of the best players in the league, doesn't have the killer instinct like a Kobe Bryant, like a Michael Jordan, he can't be the best player on the planet. Even though he may have all the talent in the world compared to every other player in the league, if he doesn't have that killer instinct, he's not the best player on the planet. That thinking is seriously flawed.
It's seriously flawed and one-sided.
That's your opinion. I got it.
That's your truth. It's Michael Jordan. It's Kobe Bryant's truth. It's the same truth that I told you last week.
The point is this. In my opinion, not your opinion, not Michael Jordan's opinion, not nobody else's opinion. I could give a rat's ass what y'all think. I'm telling you how I feel about the situation. It doesn't matter what you say it needs to be
right. Right, and it
this
don't matter
I
what you
feel.
So therefore, it's one-sided. Here's the point. Because you can't keep the killer instinct because you need more than just that.
You got to get muted because you're not listening to me. My point is this. My point is this. In order for a player to be good, they have got to have the full package. I'm not saying that LeBron does not have the ability to do it. I'm not saying he doesn't have it right now because he proved it in the last game that he does have it. You need to be consistent with it. That's the point. Consistency. It doesn't matter what you have the potential to do. It matters how consistent you are. And for my money, the best player on the planet that is being consistent is Kobe Bryant. Now, I get what you and Jerry are saying.
No.
Please,
but consistency,
you are a complete
is what I'm
idiot.
Getting to.
The consistency, you
know what?
The consistency
Whatever.
That LeBron has is that he has consistently been able to facilitate his team players. That's what he's consistently been able to do. Michael consistently couldn't
not the full
that.
Package.
Kobe couldn't consistently do that. You know what I'm saying?
He has developed it. Kevin Durant cannot
do it. Exactly. This is what we're saying. This is exactly what we're saying.
No, I get that. But right now, he is not consistent.
You don't get
right
it.
Right now, he is not consistent.
Don't get it. That's the only part
right
he's
now.
Not consistent. That's the only
exactly.
part he's not. But the boy has turned it on every time he needs to. And when he learns to that he needs to turn it on, when he needs to turn it on at the right time, that's it. Game over.
Okay.
Game over.
That's fine.
But he has all the other abilities that every other player does not have. He is better than Kobe. He's better than Kobe.
Okay.
And I don't like to say that because my heart bleeds purple and gold. I like Kobe Bryant. If it was the fight going down right now, who I'm picking? I'm picking Kobe Bryant. That's who I'm going down with. And if I had to go down with Kobe taking the, you know, hogging the ball and jacking up a whole bunch of shots, I'm going to take it. Because that's what I like. That's the type of the style I'm going to play. But if you're going to sit here and say to me, who's the best player on the planet, it's definitely LeBron. He's got all the attributes. He's got all the ability.
He has all of it, but he's not consistent.
He has to turn it on.
And that's what I'm saying, Michael. That's the only thing I'm saying. I agree with you 110% on everything you just said about LeBron James. But in order for it to be for me, that's where we disagree.
Exactly.
That's exactly where we disagree.
Because
for
you,
the best player, you have to have it on all the time. Every time you step on that court.
You don't have to have it on all the time. It's demonstrated by these bums in the NBA right now. I don't know what NBA you're looking at, but I'm looking at the same NBA that Jerry's looking at. And some dudes, it's too many of them dudes be phoning in. What it is, 256 players in the NBA or something like that, 400, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 50 of them bring it every night. If that. And that is a sad shame.
But you know what? I'll tell you like this, and I'm going to transition to a different subject, because you're right about that. And that's why LeBron should, every game, step up and prove every game that he is as consistent as being the most dominant player, just like Jordan. Jordan didn't take one game off because he was playing the Wizards. He didn't take a game off because he was playing, back then, the Clippers. Every game, he stepped up and led his team.
You know what
whether
game?
Whether it was shooting,
you know,
whether it was defending, or whatever the case may be.
You know what game you need to
every game.
You know what game you need to go look at of Michael Jordan? Is the essence of what I'm talking about. You need to go watch that game between the Bulls and the Orlando Magic when the Magic stomped Michael, stomped him right out in the finals.
You said when he came back, when he came back from his retirement,
they punched him right out. He had that killer instinct.
Okay.
That game, those games, he was shooting lights out, taking it to him every which way they could. Another game you could look at, that Boston Celtics game when he put up 63 on the Celtics. Had the killer instinct there. Guess who won? The best player in the league at that time won. Bird.
Hey.
He beat him. He beat him. That's outstanding.
But again, that was when he was in his maturation process that you were talking about that LeBron's in right now.
In his maturation. Oh, okay. okay. In his
comeback.
Maturation process.
I'm saying, just like
in his maturation
just like you said about
process.
LeBron.
Yeah, right.
Just
okay.
like you said about LeBron. So my point, when you're talking about the retirement game, I got it. He came back from baseball, and he wasn't the best player in the game at that time because he was getting himself back together, which I get. And what did he do after that? Dad,
no, it wasn't. It wasn't that. It wasn't that he. It wasn't
well,
that he was
no,
getting himself
no.
back together, Victor. What he needed
no,
was
listen.
He needed was teammates to help him,
oh,
and he
God.
Had to. He had, they had to figure out a way to facilitate the way that
work,
he
right?
was playing because he was not
it, because it was new teammates, right?
Because
it was
he
new
wasn't
teammates,
facilitating.
Right?
Because
I got
wasn't
it. And then what did he do? What did he do that year after that? I think they went on a three championship tour right after
that.
After that one.
The year after that,
yeah.
You know what they did?
Yeah,
they
I think
went
they
out
won
and
the championship,
got Dennis,
right?
They went out and got Dennis Rodman. He helped them
okay.
facilitate the game the way Mike wanted to play it, basically.
Got
period.
It. And then they go out and win three championships directly after that, though. I mean,
exactly.
Did not do that?
Exactly.
Okay,
but,
so
but
my
you
point.
See, but
that
you
is
see,
my point.
No, that's not your point. See, what I told you is that you need to go
Christmas.
Look at that game. You need to go look at that game and tell me where that killer instinct got him. Tell me where the killer
got
instinct
it.
Got him.
Got
exactly.
it. I got
exactly.
your point. I got your point. I understand your point completely, but you don't understand mine, which I don't understand how.
No, I
but
understand.
When
I understand.
The guy,
I understand your point, but you're a very nearsighted young man. You're very nearsighted.
No.
You don't have the capacity to see a perspective from many different angles. You don't.
Wow.
You're not showing that.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that 110%. But you know, it is what it is. We're going to transition. You got anything you want to say, Jay, before we transition to a different subject matter?
Sounds good.
I mean, this was a heated debate for the last 20 minutes.
Well,
once you
start talking about these two players, you are on the other side of the coin between me and Macau. So you're going to get a heated debate regardless. You're going to get a heated debate.
That's fine.
So
I'll take it.
So,
I'll take it. I have no
problem. And
my,
just
my
like
team.
Macau said, I am not a Kobe Bryant fan, but I got to give the man a prop when he needs to get it done.
Well, that's what I said. I'm not a Kobe Bryant fan. Mike is a Kobe Bryant fan. You know, I don't like Kobe. I don't like LeBron. I prefer
Charles
Barkley.
Wait a minute. I'll put it this way. I'm not a Kobe Bryant fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. But I got to give LeBron his props when he needs to, and he's the best player on the planet, and it's not close to anybody else. In my opinion, and Macau's opinion. So.
That's fine. A lot of people feel that way, and a lot of people are right and wrong about it. Thing. We're going to table that for right now. We'll see tonight if LeBron can put two games back
tomorrow
back,
night.
Going to be there.
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
Sunday.
Father's Day. Okay.
And before we get out of here, before I forget to say this, I want to wish both of you guys a happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's
Thank
Day.
Thank you very much. Same
to
you,
old guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same to all you guys and everybody listening to the show, and to the females that have to be fathers in their children's lives as well. But
oh, please stop that!
Oh my God!
That's
such a hater,
stop
dude.
That. Stop.
We're going to step away. We're going to take
a
quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball brawls, since we're talking about fights and whatnot. Then we're going to get into some fantasy football predictions and stuff like that. We'll stick and stay with us. We'll be right back.
You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Syl.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
we have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad that this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, David?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, guys. We're back. And appreciate you sitting here listening to us and jumping in on the conversation. We seemingly lost my cousin. I'm not sure if he just dropped or hung up or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I understand. He's like LeBron. He's got to go run and try to get some help. You know what?
You got to get somebody a backhanded slap. I hope he comes back. I really hope he comes back.
He probably will. I've kind of thrown my jabs in there, here and there. But anyway, let's get into this baseball brawl that we had between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Los Angeles
LA Dodgers. Right.
Yeah, Los Angeles Dodgers. A lot of people were suspended, but the main perpetrator only gets slapped on the wrist. And Mr. Pugh, but here's what Don Mattingly, the manager of the Dodgers, had to say about his team suspension.
Belly is not appealing, so he obviously understands it. A couple of guys are. I know Skip didn't seem to understand his. I thought it was, you know, seemed like it was okay.
So this is the manager that says he thinks that the suspensions are okay, but when his main young hot rookie doesn't get suspended, he feels as though that's cool too. Jerry, this is going to impact a whole bunch of fantasy players with some of these players that got hit with the suspension and then the fines. Talk to me about this brawl and the subsequent fines.
Well, you had guys thrown at each other's heads, and Ian Kennedy had been warned about it, and then he decided to throw at Zach Greinke near the top of his head, and he deserved the 10 games. I mean, you get warned by the umpire, and he turns around and hits another player, especially the opposing pitcher, and it helped clear all the benches. I think that phenom, Yaziel Puig, got a sprained shoulder from it, and what else could have happened? God knows. Pitchers or regular everyday players could have got seriously injured in that, because both teams emptied up, and it's obvious that these two teams do not like each other. They're playing the same division, and this had been brewing for a while, and supposedly, I forget what player it was, said it's not over. Ian Kennedy, if you had him, he's gone for 10 days, which is going to hurt people. I'm not sure exactly of the other players that are of fantasy baseball, if they're even relevant in any kind of scoring in baseball other than that, the pitcher. I think there was really in the – who else?
First baseman, the Diamondbacks first baseman, Schuerholz, is pretty – good. He's somebody that was consistent and gave decent points. He wasn't the big name like Ian Kennedy, but he was consistent.
Okay. So, I mean, you don't have any really guys that are really impacting your team on this. It was just a coincidence that the only one that really got a heavy fine or a heavy suspension was Ian Kennedy, and he's appealing it. So up until the time it's reviewed and decided on if his appeal is going to be upheld or denied, he's still playing. But anybody with Ian Kennedy or even this first baseman from Arizona, and I don't know if the guy from Arizona is appealing his suspension either, but you probably see that these guys are going to at least miss a few games. Maybe not the 10 or the 5 or 4 or whatever amount of games it is with these guys, but they're going to miss some time, and that's going to quite naturally affect your fantasy baseball team if you have any of these players on them.
Yeah, it is. I just hope that you know, these pitchers don't get crazy and these players don't get nutty and be like, well, you know, it's time to pay back. You know, the brand of justice that baseball is known for. You throw at my guy, I throw at your guy. You hit my guy, I hit your guy. Type
mm-hmm.
situation. And I think that's what took place. And
yes.
It caused this whole mess.
And so, it's not over.
I hope. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not over. So
mm-hmm.
Bud Selig needs to, you know, try to keep the sport clean. Even though, yeah, you're gonna have fricasses and ruckuses and stuff like that. But let's put a kibosh on it. Tell the umps the next time these two guys play, or these two teams play, first person, they're gonna get a warning. Their warnings come when they're in the dressing room, when, you know, the cameras aren't there. You know, keep it clean, da da da. First person that does something wrong or perceived to be out of line gets booted. And you make that known, you know, at the top, even before you even take the field for batting.
I think that between you and I think that's going without saying that when these guys meet, regardless of what venue they meet in, whether it's in Arizona or L.A., that the umpires are going to warn each bench that any extracurricular activities from the pitchers it's going to be an automatic ejection. So I don't know if it's legal. I don't know if they have to go through a process and take each game as a separate entity versus what happened in the past. But anybody with any kind of common sense would think the umpires would put that edict out there. You do something early in this game, or you do something out of the ordinary, and your pitcher is out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. I think that's what should be done. If it has not already been talked about, that
mm-hmm.
should be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep it moving with that. I'm going to leave football for last. Let's talk about something that's really interesting that people aren't really talking about right now, mainly because the sport is kind of, I mean, they're coming off a strike and there's still some hardcore fans there, you know, people that these cities, talking about the Boston Bruins and the Chicago Blackhawks. It's a very good series, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Blackhawks defeated the defending champion Los Angeles Kings to make it to the finals. The Boston Bruins beat the Pittsburgh Penguins to make it to the finals. And the Blackhawks are seemingly a team of destiny. But let's hear something that needs to be done in order for the Blackhawks to win this series.
We got to move our feet a little bit better. I think early in the game we didn't quite have the speed to our game, the energy, and we gave them a little bit too much space. And we were always late getting the pucks, and you know, especially in that first goal by Lucic. You know, it was just one guy after the other kind of swiping with their stick, and they made, you know, two great plays to get that empty netter.
So Jonathan Toews of the Blackhawks talks about them being a little sluggish and stuff like that, and need to move their feet. Have you watched any of the hockey playoffs at all, or
no.
The finals at all, Jerry?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't watch hockey at all.
Okay.
I don't even know who's playing. Let me put it that way. I think the Chicago Blackhawks is one of the teams, right?
Yeah, I just said the Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea about it, man.
Well, I've got some friends of all races that follow hockey, and they're excited that the Blackhawks could get to the championship and do this.
I understand that. A lot of hockey fans don't not saying all of them, a lot of them don't like the other sports. Some of them don't like basketball. Some of them don't like baseball. They don't follow those sports. I happen to like baseball, basketball, and football. I don't follow hockey. So call me a bad person, but it is what it is.
No, I wouldn't call you a bad person. We don't talk about hockey normally on this program.
You know, I do. I have watched hockey, and for those who are listening, if you quite naturally, most people do have high definition TVs. If you watch hockey on high definition TV, it's probably one of the better sports to watch on high definition. So,
Yeah, because you get to follow the puck, and it's pretty good. But let's move on from hockey, since it's not a topic that you and I can converse on. And let's talk about a tournament of sorts that's going on right now that one of our favorites, it ain't going too well. But Bob Giverstein of ABC Sports says there's a better outlook for one Eldridge Tiger Woods.
The short game of Tiger Woods was erratic in round one, better for the second round.
I played well, and I just made a couple of mistakes out there today, but I really played well, and you know, maybe I could have gotten one or two more out of it, but it was a pretty good day.
Tiger shot par in round two and is three over through two rounds. He's four back of the co-leaders Phil Mickelson and Billy Horschel. Woods has never won a tournament when he's over par through 36. Bob Gallerstein, ABC Sports.
Well, Bob Gallerstein, that's a damning tale to say about Tiger, but let's talk about that one cat who is in the lead or at the top of the leaderboard. And he made a trip from Philly to Cali to Philly and back. That's Phil Mickelson.
It feels good to be in contention heading into the weekend. You know, there's a lot of players that are right there around par, a couple over. I think this golf course provides a chance to shoot a low round, even though not many players have done it, and it's difficult. If you play good golf, there's a lot of birdie holes where you can make birdies and shoot mid-60s round, but you've got to play exceptionally well, because the hard holes are very tough pars.
So, talk to me, JT. Talk to me. It's your boy versus Lefty. Talk to me.
Oh, well, I expect Tiger to make a move here. He's plus two now. He was plus three. He's plus two, so he's picked up a stroke. He's tied for 10th. Quite naturally, you said that Billy Horschel and Phil Mickelson are tied for the first. They haven't looked like they, from what I'm seeing here, I don't know if they've started yet. I imagine they started. Oh, their tee time is 2:40.
Shortly after this show ends.
Yes. And so, and Tiger has made up one on them so far. So, the commentator announcer had said it. I can't say it any better. He when he's this far down, he doesn't have won a tournament. So, he may make a run from now until Sunday, but from being four strokes back, I guess
over
he is.
Par.
Yeah,
over par.
And he's over par. So I mean, he's got a shot, and you know, Lefty, who's a co-leader, has a habit of falling apart, especially in the fourth round. So depending on how he's feeling, depending on his mindset, and I'm talking about Phil Mickelson and Billy Horschel, if the further into this tournament they get, quite naturally, the more pressure it is because they're at the top of the leaderboard. And it may sound like it's no big deal, but once you start getting into the late part of round three and into Sunday, which is the championship round, round four, the butt cheeks and all these guys start getting a little tighter, and it's just a matter of who can handle this pressure the best.
I agree. Tiger's elbow or shoulder is bothering him a little bit. Let's see if that's going to be a big issue coming up as we go into Sunday. Phil Mickelson, he looks like he's on his game. But as you said, he normally falls apart towards the end. Sergio Garcia, you know, ever since those comments that he made about Tiger and you know, all that other stuff, he's falling apart, so I'm not worried about him.
Well, supposedly they kissed and made up early in the beginning of this tournament, which is to me, and I'll say it as plain as I can say it, BS. I think it's just a show. I'm pretty sure Tiger won't forget it, and probably not completely accept this guy's apology, because he really knows where he's coming from, and I think you and I know where this guy's coming from toward the
a certain amount of people, a certain group of people. So I'll say it like that.
Fuzzy Zeller, remember him? He made the similar comment after Tiger won the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
He flamed out a little bit afterwards and lost some endorsements and stuff like that. Although Sergio didn't need any endorsements over this, he kind of flamed out. So let's see what happens with Sergio. Even though he's one of the better players, can he, put that little controversy behind him and get his game together? Even though it's been a rainy, up-and-down type of tournament thus far, who knows what's going to happen with it being so close and making the cut, it's fairly easy for a lot of these guys in this tournament, U.S. Open. We'll see what happens later on. With that being said, it's time to transition into something that I just love and I know you love. That's called football. So in honor of getting ready for that football season, I'm bringing it back.
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water dug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprint. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Let's get ready for the football, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready, JT? Because I'm ready.
I'm always ready, man. I'm always ready. I can flip the switch and let's go.
I'm going to hit you like DX. Are you ready?
Dun, dun. Yeah, okay.
You think you can tell us where? What? You're messing up my move, dude.
Don't sing to me, man. Please. Please.
Whatever. I wasn't going to sing to you, you jerk, but that's okay. Anyway,
go right ahead.
It's that time for some football. And since Jerry thinks I do this, I might as well hit it.
Absolute power. Corrupt.
Corrupt.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And with that power comes a tight end from New England that he might be just done. I don't even know if we should even draft him. If you draft him, how late do you draft him? Because he's getting back surgery. Here's Adam Schefter on the Gronk.
The timeline all along has been 12 weeks, and if you extrapolate 12 weeks, which is 84 days from Tuesday, that would put him back on the field September 10th. And the Patriots open the season September 8th against the Buffalo Bills. So I think at the very least, it's safe to say it's highly uncertain that Rob Gronkowski will be able to play in the opening game at Buffalo against the Bills.
So with that being said, and all the surgeries, JT, ATM money, is the Gronk someone you draft within the first 5 to 8 rounds?
No. Let me put it this way. Last year you would, this year no. Just for the simple fact is that he's had all these surgeries on his arm, five surgeries on his arm. Now he's getting surgery on his back. And who knows how healthy he's going to be once he comes back after September 10th, if that's the date, if he doesn't have any setbacks. And can he sustain a 15 or 14 game season, and possibly get into the fantasy playoffs with him? If you want to take a risk and grab him, I definitely wouldn't grab him within the first 5 rounds. There's no way I'm going to grab this guy. There's going to be somebody who's going to grab him. But there's no way with the depth that there is at tight end and the possibility of some tight ends having better years than they had in the past, that I would grab Ron Gronkowski when I can make up those receptions or touchdowns with other players, i.e. Running backs in a certain system, a passing system, or wide receivers that are going to be catching a lot of passes. So, no. Gronkowski,
okay.
In my opinion, eighth round is probably seventh, eighth round, somewhere around there. If he's still sitting there, and more than likely he won't, because somebody's going to grab Gronkowski because of the name and just think he's going to come back strong. I'll let him grab him. He may pan out, he may not, but it's too much of a risk and too much at stake that I can grab somebody better, maybe at a different position other than tight end, that'll give me points that can make up for me not grabbing him in the earlier rounds.
So. I agree with you 110%. I think, especially seeing as though he had the same type of back surgery when he was
mm-hmm.
at Arizona,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was Arizona he went to, and he sat out a whole year in order for that back to heal and came back and did a decent job there. It is too much of a risk for me to wager him as my number one tight end. As my backup tight end, yeah, I'll take the chance. But as you said, there's a lot of depth at tight end this year. Usually there isn't. Usually
mm-hmm.
it's maybe like four or five talented tight ends. But this year, I would venture to say there's maybe 12 to 13 solid options there. And in my opinion, I know who I have ranked number one. I'll keep that a secret. But in my opinion, with him being down, there's a tie for number one, and they're in the same division, in my opinion. But we'll get to that at some other point when we break down player by player. I know Jerry's going to be doing his position by position coming up on the master plan in the upcoming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
On the upcoming weeks here with us, we're going to do division by division, and I want to do it the last Saturday of this month to begin, maybe even next Saturday, depending on how much you want to get into. I really wanted to start next Saturday, if that's good with you, Jerry.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You want division
okay.
by division?
So
next Saturday? That's fine.
Yeah, next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start with what division you want to start with.
How about we start with the NFC South? How's that?
Why would you want to start there? That's fine. We do the NFC South. We do the NFC South.
NFC South.
We'll start with the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll work our way through the NFC and then finish up with the AFC towards the end of the summer.
Okay.
We got about 7 minutes left of live air, and I want to get into this real quick before we jump off. I have one specific pair of players that I think really, really, really are going to surprise a lot of folks. Not because of who they are, but because of what they have in their backfield. Problem is, their offensive line is suspect at best. But the wide receiver quarterback combination I'm referring to is Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer. I was surprised that Larry Fitzgerald was listed as the 26th best player in the NFL
mm-hmm.
this past year based upon his quarterback situation. I believe with Carson Palmer, who is a major upgrade from what they had the past couple years, but still isn't the best option in the world for the Arizona Cardinals. I believe with Carson, Fitzgerald will be a top-rated receiver again. Carson will throw to him a lot, as well as Roberts and Floyd. Carson will hand that ball off to Rashad Mendenhall, who isn't a slouch, but he's better than Beanie Wells. So a combination that I think people should really look out for, and possibly you can place them as sleepers, is Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. Depending on what happens with this offensive line and Bruce Arians, you got to remember, Bruce Arians took a team, even though he's an interim coach, took a team that everybody thought was going to be like 2-14.
Mm-hmm.
And took them to 13-3, even though they were in a weak division. He's in a tougher division this year. He's the mastermind of a great offense. He has Carson Palmer. He has Larry Fitzgerald. He has Rashad Mendenhall. He has a decent defense. Or will the offensive line show up? That's the question. If they show up, Fitz and Carson will be a sleeper pair, in my opinion. We've got about 5 minutes, JT. Let's get your thoughts on that, and then we'll get ready to close out.
I have to agree with you, because and I'm glad you mentioned him, because of the coach factor, Bruce Arians. His offense is very quarterback-friendly, and he's got a stud wide receiver, and I can understand why Larry Fitzgerald was positioned in the top 100 where he was, because the fact is, even though he had all those question marks and problems with the Cardinals had with their quarterbacks and their offensive line, Larry Fitzgerald still was able to put up some decent numbers. Not the best numbers he had in his career, but he did put up some decent numbers, being basically the only option and having the different quarterbacks thrown to him. So having a better quarterback, like Carson Palmer, when he was in Oakland, he had issues with the wide receivers not being in where they were supposed to be, being a very young wide receiving core in Oakland. He had issues with them, even though Carson Palmer, they weren't really on the same page. And so a lot of picks or miscommunication was taking place with those wide receivers. That's not the case here. You got two vets that know the game, know the passing game well. They've been working out with each other and trying to get their time and their understanding of each other down. And quite naturally, Bruce Arians and the Cardinals have addressed or trying to address the offensive line. I think the offensive line had some injuries last year, and those guys are coming back. So I have to agree with you that Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald as a duo, in your opinion, they're surprises, but they won't surprise me, because he's got a decent quarterback that can throw a decent deep ball, along with throwing over the middle, and Larry Fitzgerald being where he's supposed to be as a wide receiver. So these guys should put up decent numbers. But I still say, and I keep on saying it, unless there's an injury on one of the two players that I'm going to name as surprises for me. And I expressed it last week, and I'll say it again this week. Reggie Bush is out of the top 10 as being one of the top 10 players, running backs. But in my opinion, in that offense with that quarterback, especially with the stud they have as wide receiver, and how much they like to throw the ball, Reggie Bush, in my opinion, is going to be the number two running back in fantasy football this year. I know everybody's talking about Adrian Peterson, really talking up Doug Martin, talking about Arian Foster. These three guys are the staples. But I said it before, and I'll say it again, and I keep on saying it, Reggie Bush is going to have a extremely, as long as he stays healthy, especially on turf, playing inside for a lot of the dome games, he's going to have an extremely huge day. I mean, a huge season. And the other guy that I think is going to be surprising a lot of people, and is probably going to be moving up within the top 10, he's out of the top 10 now, is... No, he's not going to be a running back. He's not a running back.
You got 20 seconds. I gotta get to something. Hurry up.
He's out of St. Louis. Quarterback Sam Bradford. I'll say that for now.
Okay, Sam Bradford. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 1 minute left of live air. We're gonna go into overtime very briefly so we can discuss some MMA and finish up Jerry's thought process on a few of these surprise folks. So it's gonna be a few minutes into overtime. So make sure you tune in the archive to see what I gotta say about MMA. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. We will see you next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on blogtalkradio.com. And check out the master plan tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to go off with that. UFC 161, Rashad Evans versus Mr. Henderson. Hendo. Hendo. This comes to be a good fight. If Rashad doesn't play defensively, it should be a slugfest. Rashad should get back on a winning streak because he's lost his last couple fights. If it'll be a boring fight, but I think Rashad would win it because Hendo has knockout power. But Rashad's not going to – I hope he doesn't let him get that close. He let he let Fyodor Machida knock him out. So that tells me he has a weak chin, and Hendo has a strong right hand. We'll see about that. Another fight I'm interested in is Nelson versus Miocic. Roy Nelson is a very, very talented MMA guy, but Dana White hates him because he's a fat, sloppy guy who just has natural ability. And if he were in shape, could be the world heavyweight champion in the UFC. I don't know why Dana hasn't given him a title shot. I know he lost one of his last three fights, but he's dominated in all the other ones. So hopefully he'll dispatch of Miocic, who is a very talented fighter in his own right and very gifted as well. But I think with Roy Nelson's pedigree and his background in jiu-jitsu, and he has a strong right hand as well, he'll win this fight. Another good fight will be the women. Whenever the women fight in UFC, they steal the show. We have two talented fighters. If you don't know them, they're in the game. We have Davis versus Sexton. This is going to be a hell of a fight. Both women agree they will not let this go to three rounds. Now, when you hear women fighters, mixed martial artists, talk about they're not going to let a fight go to the judges' card, they're going to slug it out. And these women can fight. I predict that they're going to steal the show again. I have Davis winning. Sexton is good, but she's been in a lot of battles. So I just think that Davis is going to pull out the victory. I might be wrong, but I think that's what's going to take place. Another marquee matchup that you're going to see on FX is going to be Mr. Jake Shields versus Woodley. Jake Shields needs to get back on a winning streak. Jake Shields came into the UFC with all this hype, how he's going to be GSP and all this stuff. And he did a good showing. But Shields needs to come out and dominate Woodley. Woodley is no slouch either. Woodley's, I don't think he'll go past two rounds. I think Jake will take him out and win this fight. And that's another matchup that's going to be on FX. Then you go to the two prelim fights that are going to be on Facebook. Yes, you can go to Facebook and stream a couple of these fights. I look at Clark versus McGuire as a very good fight. These are two young, upcoming guys that are looking to make a name for themselves in the fight business, and they are talented. So I see this being a possible fight of the night, even though it's on the free prelims on Facebook. So UFC 161, I predict this is going to be the most energetic card, but it's going to be a very good card. And I will be in Vegas. I will be in Vegas next month to see Anderson Silva defend his title versus this new cat. Well, not a new cat. This guy that they put in front of him that they say could defeat this fighter. They'll be at the MGM Grand. I'll be at the Monte Carlo, namely Hotel 32, which is a hotel within a hotel. So hopefully I get an opportunity to go see that fight. If not, I'll find a way to view it. It's UFC 162. Last thing I want to talk about in the fight business is Ty Barnett. Ty Barnett is headlining a card in Washington, D.C. at the D.C. Convention Center. He came on the Cruise show this past Thursday. Jerry, mm-hmm. Real quickly, tell the people about this exciting fighter and this card.
Well, to tell you the truth, Ty Barnett is going to be fighting, and he's the promoter of this event. So there's several
correct.
Fights that are going to take place. He happens to be the lightweight, and he happens to be the main event. against his opponent that he's going to be fighting on Friday night. Saturday night. Yes, tonight. And I'm looking forward to getting the information or getting the coverage from Black, who's going to be at the fight covering it for, I think, a couple news organizations, and getting the information how the fight was and the whole card, let me put it that way, and to see if he packed the house and had people come out to support him in his first promotion of this fight card and of his main event fight.
All right. Hopefully Mr. Barnett comes out and does what he does and puts on a show for everybody, and everybody can enjoy a good night of fights in the D.C. area. I'm glad to see that the boxing business is picking up in D.C. because there's a lot of talent, and with a lot of young kids there that can learn how to box and be good at it, it's a good thing. You know, I wish nothing but the best for the D.C. fighters and athletes in that area because I'm from that event. And Tiger Woods is teeing off right now. I don't know which hole it is, but he's about to approach a hole, and it's the third hole, Tiger. And he's two over right now, so wish him well, and hopefully he'll come out, and he looks like it anyway, so hopefully he does well and represents well. He's in the rough, just short of the green, but that's the approach. We'll see what happens. It's a par three. Tiger can make it happen. Real quickly, JT, anything else you want to share, fantasy football or baseball-wise, before we get off the air?
Not at this present time. I just want to wish Andrew good luck in our matchup, and we'll see who comes out on top. But like I said, it's a long season. Anything can happen. It's 1-8 right now, so we'll see what happens the next 2 days. See who comes up on top, and then we'll go from there to see if I got anything to say after the matchup or not.
That's gonna be I told you so, or I'm not gonna say anything. I know how you work. That sucks. That's crazy. Especially the guys. I want to wish everyone. Yeah, I know how you work, old guy. I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day, and
yes,
all fellas out there.
Same to you.
Not a problem. Thanks. If you're being a father to your child, if you're being a father to your child, happy Father's Day. But if you're just a sperm donor, not too cool with that. And again, to the women that have to be fathers because there is a donor, happy Father's Day to you as well. I think that's what upset my cousin. I don't know why, but whatever. But just want to wish everybody happy Father's Day. Enjoy the day. Enjoy.
Thank
the
you.
Kids. And
beautiful
Sniper 6, take us off the air.
Well, for Victor and myself, and especially you, Andrew, and to all you listeners that are fathers, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.